Can you hear me? Yes. All right. How's everyone feeling this afternoon? A bit energetic? Yeah? No? Not quite? I see Ev shaking her head or not quite energetic. Well, hopefully the Word of God will energize you as well. You know, it's my privilege always here to really share His Word as well. And, you know, I'm excited about this month because this month is a month of blessing, right? We're going to have parents blessing their children. We're going to have an appreciation day for all our volunteers. And we're going to continue on this theme of blessing, right? A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Rena shared what it means to have brokenness to fruitfulness. And I'm going to continue on that. And then what I'm going to share about today is blessed to be a blessing. All right, put your hands up right now. Who has heard the term blessed to be a blessing? All right, leave your hands up if you've actually utilized that term before and said, I'm blessed to be a blessing. And can I ask you to keep your hands up if you actually know where that verse actually comes from in the Bible? A couple of people here. Let's so. So we're going to all learn something today. So we're going to explore where blessed to be a blessing comes from, because it's actually scriptural, right? And we're all called to be a blessing. So that's what we're going to explore today. And I'm going to do a bit differently. I'm going to share a number of testimonies throughout our congregation as well, because we are a living testimony and we glorify Him when we share His Word in our lives. Are you getting me, church? Yeah. So I want to share a bit of a story. I want to start from July 2024. So this is last year. I went with my buddy Ezra down south for a bit of a men's getaway together. And it was a great time and we were really excited about heading down there. And we were going to Hemlin Bay, and as we were driving down, we were thinking, wow, it's going to be an awesome trip. We're going to do some fishing. We're going to see some marine life. And Ezra said, wouldn't it be amazing if I got to see a whale out in the ocean? Because he's never seen a whale before. And so we're excited about seeing all these things, right? And we drove down south. It took us 3 hours. We got to Hamlin Bay. We chucked all our gear inside our cabin and we went straight to the beach. We went straight to the beach and then we stood there looking at the beach. And it was pretty windy. It was pretty windy. I had my wetsuit on. He had a shorts and shirt. And we said, stuff it. We're going to go for it, right? So we dove into the water. Forget about marine life, church. We were struggling to keep our lives because the wind was blowing. It was zero visibility. It was like a duck paddling underwater, right? We kept moving our feet, but we were going absolutely nowhere. So after 20 minutes, we got out of it. I had my wetsuit. He was cleaning out the sand from his pants. And we thought, nah, it's going to be better tomorrow, because tomorrow we're going to go hiking. And that's going to be exciting there, because that's what we came down for the trip on. And so we decided to head off. And the weather person said it was going to rain. But what did they know? We had God, right? Praise God. We had God. And it was beautiful. You look at the weather up there, the sun was shining. And we thought to ourselves, we're just going to do 6 to 7 Ks. It's not too long a distance. We're walking on the beach and sand. So those that have walked on the beach and sand, it's quite, you know, tiring on your legs. So we thought, nah, we're going to do 6, 7 Ks along the beach. And the weather was shining. It was great. Look at us. Smiley faces, all excited. And we actually got there. We got there, 6 to 7 Ks, no worries. We were talking, chatting. It was really good. Great time to just bond as our brothers in Christ. And then we stopped to our destination. We saw this white dot in the distance. Can anyone see the white dot there? Yeah? For those that can't, this is it there. And we saw that white dot. We thought to ourselves, well, that doesn't look too far. Let's make our way there as well. And if you talk to my wife, I have great sense of depth perception and direction. No, not really. I always keep walking straight, and she always says that I always get lost. But I thought, Ezra, I can rely on Ezra, my brother in Christ. This doesn't look too far, probably only a couple of extra Ks away. And after 2 seconds of careful risk management, we ventured on our way. And that's where our adventure began, church. So stick around, because if you're keen to hear what happens with us and where God worked, we would love to share a bit later on. So I'm going to open up in prayer. So, dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this time, just to really glorify who you are. We're going to hear stories. We're going to hear testimonies of different people, of your sons and daughter today. And it's going to glorify who you are. It's going to fan into flame that desire to be that salt and light of the earth. Because God, you have called us to be a blessing to those around us. We pray this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Amen. All right. So the sermon today is blessed to be a blessing. There's a bit of a teaser there, so you'll stick around and hear the rest of the story, hopefully. So I want to start off and ask you a simple question. How do you know if someone is blessed? How does the world perceive that someone is blessed? Is it because they've got a big house? Is it because they drive a Tesla or have a lot of money? Is it because their children are well-behaved? Right? If those children are so well-mannered, those parents must be blessed, right? I remember Sarah caught up with me a few weeks ago, and she was sharing a story with me that she was driving, I think it's Applecross, somewhere around that area, and she saw these big houses, and she had Mitchie in the back of her car. And then Mitchie asked, "Wow, these people must be really blessed. These people must be wealthy." And Sarah asked, "How do you know that they are wealthy or blessed?" And Mitchie goes, "Because they have one of these," right? "It's so obvious they have one of these." And then Sarah said to her son and said, "What happens if God has called you to serve others and you didn't have one of these? Are you still blessed? What happened if God calls you to serve others and didn't have one of these? Are you still blessed?" And I want to take this further, church. What happens if you didn't have a big house? Or you didn't have your dream partner? Not everyone's as blessed as me, right? To have your dream partner, dream wife. So good, so good. Do I have an amen here? Amen. No, oh, thank you. Everyone knows how blessed I am, right? So if you didn't have your dream partner, dream house, what happens if you didn't have a house at all? What happens if you're living on the street? Or if you are bedridden? Are you still blessed? Right? Are you still blessed? Because you know what, church? When the world perceives it, we look at the outward manifestations. And I'm not saying that God doesn't bless us with these things, but that doesn't mean you are actually blessed. That is not the sole thing that defines if you are blessed or not. You know, as children, like as parents, you know, as our children grow up, what do we say to our children? We say, "The world is your oyster. You can do anything that you put your mind to," right? And I'm not saying you shouldn't encourage our children to try their best, but you know what? That creates a sense of entitlement. That creates a sense of entitlement because it's through their effort that they're able to achieve things, right? It's through their effort that they're able to achieve things, but they lose sight of the Father. You know, in 1 Timothy 6:7, what does it say? "We brought nothing into this world, so we can take nothing out of it." What that verse means is all things come from God, and God gives all things purpose. Are you getting me, church? All things come from God, and God gives all things purpose. And that is a fundamental mind shift, right? It shifts our focus on our own effort. And I'm guilty of this as well. As we grow older, as an individual, and I can share with you, you know, I say to myself, "I work hard," right? I work hard, I pay my taxes, I come to church, I share. I'm a good person, so what I've earned, I deserve this. I deserve this. But we lose sight of the Father because we focus on ourselves and our outcomes. But what happens if the situation is different? What happens if you don't get the things of your desire? Are you still blessed then? And I love how Sarah responded to Mitchie. You know what she said to him? She said, "Those that are obedient to God, they are the wealthy ones. They are the blessed ones. Those that are obedient to God, they are blessed." Are you getting me, church? So what does Scripture say? Now I need my glasses. All right. So in Psalms, it says this, "Blessed is the one who trusts in you. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." It's not blessed are the ones with the big house. It's not blessed the ones with a car. It's blessed are the ones who are obedient, who trust in him, who take refuge in him, who keep his testimonies. Are you getting me, church? All these things, what do they have in common there? They are focusing on the giver and not the gift. They are focusing on the giver and not the gift. It's not about the outward manifestations of what we do or what we achieve. It's focusing on the Father and the Spirit. You know, I love how Kelvin was sharing earlier on, right? That when we realize this, we understand that a blessing is more than these outward elements. God sacrificed his one and only Son for us when we were undeserving, when we were still sinners. He died and he bled for us so that our relationship can be restored to him. So many people in this world are still yet to know that truth. So many people in this world are still yet to know this truth. That is why we are blessed. Everyone here is blessed because we know that truth. We have that opportunity to share that truth with others. So it doesn't matter. And it's hard, church, when the situations arise and we are down in our lows, it's hard to see if we are blessed or not. But just know of what he has done for us so then that we can have a relationship with the Father. Are you getting me, church? And I'm going to share with you. I said to you, I'm going to share with you a few testimonies, you know. We've had this privilege to journey with Jess and Anas and their family as well. And their journey has been a one of joy, of tears, doors opening and closing. So for those that don't know, they've been in Australia for 20 plus years, but they've been on this journey to seek a PR, a permanent residency, for the last 6 years or so. And it has been a challenge, right? And only a few weeks ago, they actually heard they haven't got their visa PR just yet, but they got confirmation that they have a pathway to get it if they keep doing what they're doing for the next 3 years. Amen, church? And I want to encourage all of you to, if you want to hear more about their story, definitely go see them. Hear from their story, pray for them, sow into their lives, because they are such a loving family in our community. And you know what? What is awesome about their story and their testimony is throughout that challenge, when these things were looming over their head, they weren't focusing on the outcomes or the gifts. They were focusing on the Father. Each and every day of their lives is about making disciples. Being in our life group, they have sown so much into ourselves personally and as a life group, really showing what it takes to have the courage to really share about God to those that you don't know. They are living it each and every day. They are focusing on him. They are trusting in him. And I have no doubt God knows their heart as well. So good. Know that you are blessed, church. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, you are blessed. I can't hear you, church. Say right now, you are blessed. Ah, very good. You are blessed. JQ, do I have an amen? Amen. Oh, thank you, my brother. Excellent. So we all know we are blessed, right? We all know we are blessed. So what? Know that we are called to be a blessing. So for the younger generation, that's a phone. You might not know. When I did the slides, I didn't realize maybe I should have put a mobile or something like that, a little rectangle, and you might know that's a phone. That's the old style phones that we used to have for those that are my age. So we are all called to be a blessing as well. You know, it's quite funny. You know, my kids and I, when we're driving to long locations, etc., we play this little game where we, you know, we'll throw things out. So like pizza or pasta, and then they choose quickly, you know, pizza or vanilla or chocolate, and we say vanilla or chocolate. And then Kieran says to Mia, if there was an apocalypse, Woolworths or Costco? And Mia quickly says, Woolworths, because Costco, you require a membership. I didn't have the heart to tell my daughter, if there was apocalypse and the world was ending, I don't think Costco would really care that you didn't have a membership. But when we talk about a blessing, some of us as believers, you know, we think to ourselves, well, blessing other people is only for those that are financially well. I'm not called to be a blessing. It's for others to do it. Sometimes we walk by and we see something that happens because I don't have the courage. I'm too shy to be able to step in and do something. Someone else will take care of it. But it doesn't need to be the financial elements, church. We are all called to be a blessing. You know, I love my brother Robert here. You know, every couple of weeks or so, he'll send me a message and just pray for me and the family. You know, welcome to see me on Sunday and stuff. And I love hearing his, you know, just what he shares every Sunday. When you have a conversation with Robert, you just hear all the small things that he does that is such a blessing that money could never overtake on that side. The simple things to just show people love, to extend yourself just to help drive someone from one location to the other when they are in need. That's what it means to be a blessing. And so we are all called to be a blessing. So where does that verse actually come from? So only a couple of people had their hands up. So it's Genesis 12, 2-3. Does everyone see this verse now? This is God's covenant with Abraham. He said, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be a blessing through you. This says it all. I will bless you. God blessed Abraham. God blessed Abraham with a covenant, with a contract with Abraham. And you see that last bit here, it says blessed through you. This is not by you. This is not by Abraham, it's actually through Abraham. So through Abraham means what? Through his descendants. Who are his descendants? Sorry? Exactly, he jumped to the end, but yes, we are his descendants. We got the Israelites, we have David, we have Jesus who sacrificed himself. And to what Martin said there, all of us as sons and daughters, we have his inheritance. We are called to be a blessing to each other, to just each other. No, to all peoples on earth. This is the verse, church. Blessed to be a blessing. We are all called. This is not an optional thing. When you know your identity as sons and daughters, you have the inheritance and you are all called to be a blessing to all those around you. Is that not good? That's good, right? When I read through this, I was like, wow, this is not an option. This is who we are. This is our identity in who we are. So now that we know we are blessed, we are all called to be a blessing. So how do we be a blessing? How do we be a blessing? And we talk about being a blessing, right? And there's many ways to be a blessing. There is definitely the financial elements. You can sow into things. But God has also given you gifts. He's given you talents that he wants to use. Like I said, all things come from God and God has given all things purpose. You have talents and abilities not to use just for yourself, but to use for others. To help others in their time. You can use these things. And I want to share with you a few testimonies right now of different people and different generations that have done things that really glorify him. Those that didn't recognize, that's Tegan up there. She wasn't too happy me using this photo, but that's not too bad. So we were over at Jason and Crystal's house a couple of months ago, right? And Jason and I walked down to the park with the kids and we decided to play some badminton. So I found some rope. And I bit styled it out with a MacGyver thing and tied it between two posts so the kids can play some badminton. I think we left it up there. So if you're ever at that park, be careful at night in case you walk into it. We forgot to take it down. Anyway, I've told you, it's near their house, okay, Mount Hawthorne area. So yeah, just be careful. So anyway, we're playing badminton. We're having a lot of fun. And then Tegan looked across the road
and she saw a mum and a son across the road in the street, and they had some badminton rackets as well. And they were looking across, they were a bit unsure, and Jason and I were just mucking around with the kids as well. And then she took the initiative to walk across there. She started having a conversation with them, spoke a little bit of Mandarin, you know, built some connection, and then she invited them over to join us, right? She invited them over to join us. So this is a young child as well, and they joined us in this, right? They reached out to someone that she did not know, and they played with us. And we start hearing about their life and about their story as well. So much so that Tegan said, "You know what? Mother, if you want to go for a run, just go for a run. We will watch your kids." And it's not like Jason has enough kids as it is, right? What's one more? Five plus one, it's okay, just add them on. So anyway, so we ended up watching this child. The mum was so trusting, she ran off and she left her child. I kept an eye out because I wanted her to come back. But she took a run and she trusted us. But it was so good that she took that effort just to connect with someone that she didn't know. And this is just the start. You know, for those that don't know, you know, Tegan's friend has recently come to Christ. And it's through that relationship that she had with her friend. At such a young age, she pursued her friend. She journeyed with her friend and with the leaders within TBC as well. And for that reason, that person now knows the Father. Yes. Amen, church. Amen, church. At such a young age, to have the courage to speak and to sow. And I would say here, like some of us, even as adults, we would struggle to do that, right? And there's this boldness in Tegan that as a not blood-related uncle that I am so proud of, just to see that. You know, during the school holidays, we were down in Busselton and we're walking to our accommodation. And as we walked by, there was a man with a paper bag. And the bag ripped and all this stuff fell out. So I ran back. I ran back and I said, "Oh, yeah, do you need a hand? Can I help you?" And then the man said, "Oh, no, I've got it. I've got it. It's okay." And I said, "Are you sure? I can give you a hand." He goes, "No, it's good." And so he put all that stuff back in. And then I walked back. And then Sophie said to me, "That's stranger danger. What are you doing, Uncle Sam?" And I said, "That's exactly why I went there. Because he was a stranger." I said to her, "That's why we are believers. We are called to be a blessing. When we see a need, it's easy to walk by these things when we see something wrong. We always think to ourselves, someone else will take care of it. But God has put you there for a reason, church. When those situations happen, when you see it, God has put you there for a reason. He has given you that strength and that courage to step into that place, to either speak life, to serve, to be obedient to Him. Are you getting me, church? Is this good? Who wants to hear the rest of the story right now? Yeah? All right. So I'm going to close up soon, but this is the story. So Ezra and I decided to venture through, and wow, we were chatting, we were all revved up, we were so energetic, and we kept on going. And then my knees started to hurt. I started to hobble. Right? I started to hobble. I started, like, walking on the sand was pretty tough, and I started pretty tough, and I started to limp. And we kept on going, and then it started to rain. The weather person was right. God, where were you? It started to rain. And we kept on going, and our conversations, as energetic and as continuous as they were, started to get shorter and shorter. Until they were silent. We stopped talking to each other and our heads down, we just kept on walking. And we saw this journal here. You probably can't see it, so I've put the words up. So we saw this journal, we stopped by and we said, "Let's write some words of wisdom there to remember this occasion." Sore knee, need to pee. I had the sore knee, so you can think about who needed to pee. But my brother is very civilized, right? So I said, "You could just go out in the bushes." "Nah, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it." It's very civilized. So now that's inscribed in there. So you ever walk past the Cape to Cape and you look at that journal, flip back to July 28th, you'll see a little message there. So we kept on walking and we finally got to our destination. And it's the one thing that people always say, you know, those that run, if it's not on Strava, it didn't happen. But luckily, Ez caught it on Strava. So we ended up walking nearly 23 kilometers. You know, 34,000 steps, 5 hours and 11 minutes. We got to the Lighthouse Church. Praise God. Yes. Praise God. And we were like high-fiving. Yes, we made it. It was so good. Then we looked at each other. How the heck do we get back? I was thinking, yes, it was getting dark by then. It doesn't look like it, but it was getting dark pretty quick. So we thought, oh, could you get Uber? No, there was no Uber around that comes here. I was like, oh no, what are we going to do? So I saw some people, right? I saw this Asian family and I went up to them and said, oh, can you give us a lift back? And they said, no. My brothers and sisters, they said no. And I saw this other older couple, and I spoke to the wife, and I said, oh, are you heading back this way? And she had this big smile on her face. And I said, oh, looking positive. And the husband was like this. He avoided eye contact. No, not going there. No, he didn't even look at the map. He was just saying, no, I'm not heading that way. And we're going, oh, no. So we decided to walk back. So we started taking the road back to our car. And I was hobbling on the side. I tried to pull up my legs just to show a bit of skin, and we're putting our arms out to hitchhike. We've never hitchhiked before. So we were trying every effort to get a car, but it was getting dark, so they probably didn't see my legs. So anyway, we kept on going to a certain point, and then opposite the road, across the road, there was just a turnout from the beach, right? And this car was pulling out, so I ran across the road, and I was waving the person down, and then they stopped the car. And I said to the guy, he pulled down his window, and I said to him, sir, I've injured my leg. Do you mind taking us back to our car? Are you heading down this way? And he said, no, I'm not heading there, but I will give you a lift. Praise God. The couple there was Nancy and Pierre. And it was fantastic. It was half an hour for them to drive us back. But during that half an hour, we just shared life. They were sharing about their daughters and what they did. We were sharing about our own selves. And she was saying to me, oh, you know, I was a bit freaked out when I saw this crazy man with a big stick going like this to the window. I was telling my husband to wind it up, because I had a hiking pole. So she was a bit scared at first. And as we were talking, she goes, oh, look at this. This is a text from my daughter. And so she decided to text her daughter that she had picked us up. And I read the message, and the message said, what the hell are you doing picking up these two strangers? They thought it was something out of like Taken, you know, Liam Neeson getting kidnapped or something like that. And she was worried, and she texted her daughter, and her daughter's rebuking her, why did you do that? But it was great. We were sharing life, we got back to our destination, and when we got there, we thanked them. I told her, can you please message your daughter? I don't want to be on Crime Stoppers for something that we haven't done. We actually left a wet patch on their seat as well when we walked out. I felt very apologetic. We never took a photo. I actually tried to actually find them on the web just to reach out to them and to say thank you, but we were never able to do that. But wow, such a blessing, right? And I always think about my, the parable about the Good Samaritan. You know, it wasn't the Levite that came to help. It wasn't even the priest. It was the Samaritan. They helped the Viet boy and the Malaysian Singapore boy with his broken leg. It was Nancy and Pierre that were our neighbours that helped us out. And so the next day, we came back. So I might invite the worship team to come up now. So the next day, we decided to go fishing. We did a bit of fishing and we were driving along the coast, and then we pulled to the side and we stepped out of the car. And what do we see on the horizon? A whale. So good, right, church? We saw a whale. God knew what's on our heart. And you know what? This will be one of the most memorable trips, right? In our brokenness, there was fruitfulness. God came in when it was least expected. He came through Nancy and Pierre. He is glorified through this memory. For us too, I think this is probably one of the most strong bonding moments that we had as brothers in Christ. To be able to journey to walk together, even not speak to each other, but still achieve the outcome that we were seeking. Lap, we shared this story with Lap, and he said he wouldn't go hiking with us anymore. We got a men's gathering next week. He's actually bought a ticket to China just to avoid going with us. He's going out of the country. I really don't know if he's actually going to China. I need to ask his wife, Tracy, for the ticket as proof. But he said, I can't believe that you guys are going. And you know what, church? These testimonies, and I love how when we looked at the youth fair, this same verse came up, and I'll show it in just a moment. We know we are blessed. We are called to be a blessing. And we need to be that blessing to all those on earth. In Matthew 5, 14 to 16, and we saw this verse earlier, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see the good deeds, not for yourself, but to glorify your Father in heaven. These testimonies that you heard, church, with Tegan at such a young age, speaking life and truth into her friend's life, seeing a stranger and bringing them in, shines for him. With Jess and Anas and their family, their constant obedience to his calling to make disciples of all nations, to take refuge in him, to be obedient to him. To Robert, who shares a word to his brothers and sisters to encourage, to exhort. And to Nancy and Pierre, to reach out in a time of need to strangers that they didn't know. To help two brothers to see God in that moment. That he works in our brokenness. And it doesn't matter what situations that we're in, even if we don't realize it, even if we don't feel it, church, we know that we are blessed. Because we have that truth as sons and daughters. We have that inheritance in him that he sacrificed his one and only son for us, who died on that cross, who bled for us, that we can share this to all peoples on earth. If you walk out today, church, knowing nothing, I say to you, know that he loves you, each and every one of you. He knows you so deeply. Even if you don't know him yet, he knows you. He has called you to step out with courage. And if you are in those situations, do not feel that it's for someone else. I encourage you to step out. The Spirit will give you the right words, will give you the right actions for you to step out in faith. He will comfort you. He will give you the courage. And you will be a blessing to all those around you, to be that salt and light on this earth. In Jesus' most precious name.